come, let us praise our God together. Angels above and sea creatures below, rulers of earth and street people, young men and women, senior citizens and children. Let's all praise God together. And now we come to our first hymn, Once in Royal David's City. Let us pray. God, who are the most high Lord of all, you have a surprising preference for people who are small and humble and who expect everything from you. You chose Mary, the unassuming virgin from Nazareth, to become the mother of your son Jesus. Through your Holy Spirit, make us aware of the poverty of our hearts, that we may be open to you and welcome you. Be ready, like Mary, to serve you and your plans, and expect everything from you. Come to us and give yourself to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come together before God and with one another, confessing the ways in which we have been caught up in the frenzied spirit of the holidays and turned away from your spirit of peace. The times we have focused so much on our own lives and desires that we have neglected the voices of your children who cry out for justice. In our focus on making the season perfect, we have turned away from the hurting people and broken places in our world in need of healing. At times we have dismissed Christmas as a time only for children, and we have stubbornly closed our hearts to your amazing gift of love. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, Word become flesh, our Saviour and King, hear us as we humbly pray. cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We have the introduction of the theme by Sally now, please. Thank you.
Good morning. Hello. Morning. You know that I work a lot with children, but I've actually been thinking about elderly people recently and thinking about the story of Simeon and Anna, two very elderly, very faithful, very prayerful people who lived at the temple and finally managed to see their long-awaited Messiah. They were able to meet Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And I've discovered that there is something called the Anna Chaplaincy, and that's run by the Bible Reading Fellowship. And they have a heart to see an Anna chaplain in every small and medium-sized town in the country, someone who can minister to the elderly in the community and in the church even. And what I wanted to do today is not so much a talk. I wanted to ask you something, and I want to ask you to write your suggestions in the chat function, and I'm going to try and save the chat today. And what I'd like to do is ask the older generation if you could give a piece of advice to our children, what would it be? And then I'm going to try and share it with our children. Some of the children are here today, so they can see it now, but I will try and share it with the children who are not here today as well. It doesn't have to be to do with God or anything particularly spiritual, but just a piece of advice that our elderly our older congregation, shall I say, because I don't consider myself elderly. I feel it sometimes, but I'm not. So if you can start typing, that would be great. And I'm going to put one in as well. So we've got, what have we got? We've got, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Yeah, write thank you letters, even if it is a bore. Yeah. Take a big breath before responding to things that trouble you. I need to hear that one. Brilliant. Be humble, chin up, and never give up with God's grace. Never open the minibar. Right. Never forget how to have fun. Listen to your parents. Okay, anyone else? So if you want to, click on the button at the bottom of the screen that says chat. Type in what you want to say and then press enter. And if anyone thinks of anything afterwards, after the service, you can email me and I'll include it, okay? Be thankful, be humble, yeah. Cherish every moment with loved ones, absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna type one in. My one is to do with God, but do as you're told. Well, that depends what you're being told, but take opportunities, and even if it's not good, learn from them and find some good. Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Be kind. Yeah. I'm going to type one in. we go. And this bit of advice is for people of all ages, each one of you today. Be thankful, never forget you're special. Yep, all good things, all good things. I'm going to try and save the chat. You don't have to get on with all people. You don't have, my mother used to say, you don't have to like everyone, you just have to love them. Get on with your siblings. Oh dear. I've just had a moment of self-confession. Yeah. Brilliant. Right. Okay. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to save the chat and hopefully send it to the children later on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally. We now move on to our readings, and we have two readings today, one from Samuel and one from Luke. John Watts will read the first one and Sue Watts the second, and then we will listen to the sermon that Leslie has recorded for us.
The reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 to 11, and then verse 16. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all my people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Here ends the reading.
Good morning, everybody. The reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Here ends the reading.
A warm welcome to you. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. The text that I'm preaching from on this day are 2 Samuel 7 verses 1 to 11 and then 16, Luke 1 verses 26 to 38. How we do this as a church is we have a gathering on Zoom, then the sermon comes in, and then we gather on Zoom again for Holy Communion. And you would be most welcome to come and join us if that would help you. And we would be completely up for having a conversation with you or offering you time as we can. But if you're just looking at the sermon, please read the texts and then come back. You want to change the world. You want to turn it upside down. You want to show the world that your heart aches with love and tenderness. What would you do? And how much would you be prepared to risk it to make it happen? How would you build something? Like Mary or like David? How do we build the church? Like Mary? Like David? Do we risk? Like Mary? Like David. David is, "I've got a bright idea, let's do this." Mary is busy with her work. God intervenes, and slowly in her and through her, God grows and into the world. The other thing that needs to be said straight away is that most of us recognize David's experience of God more than Mary's. His discernment of God is much more like ours than hers. A conversation with an angel is not our usual experience. Even those who've had it once, it's not a common experience. But thinking that you are doing God's plan, setting off on a course, and then discovering that actually you're going in the wrong direction, now that we all know about, we all recognise that. And indeed, Mary did that with the adult Jesus. David has got his lovely palace and thinks that something should be done now to accommodate God as well. So he decides that he's going to build a temple. Quick chat with the prophet Nathan to put the holy stamp on it. A bit like prayers at the beginning of a meeting, which someone described as you get God over with and then you click your pen and you get on with the real business. However, in the night, when he wasn't thinking and when he wasn't doing, God somehow manages to get through to the prophet Nathan. Like in the same way that God will get through to many in the nativity stories of this season, as God does for many today. Not a good idea, this temple building business. Stop it. And it's to David's credit that he listens to the prophet Nathan rather than kicking him out the building, which might be a normal reaction for many. He stops his good idea. He changes course. And that's not what we usually do. Mary encounters God through the direct intervention of a messenger, an angel. Ah, that lovely glow that spreads around Mary. Golden, blue cloth, pale skin, manicured nails, and a pleasing sparkle in the eye.
Yet, around the world in 2017, an estimated 295,000 women died from the complications of pregnancy and childbirth. And globally, the maternal mortality ratio, the number of deaths per 100,000 live births, now stands at 211. The good news is that once in 2000 it was 342. Sadly, the rate of improvement is slowing, and it's still a third of a million people per annum. In the UK, it's 10 deaths for every 100,000 pregnancies. Mary did not say no, but once she said yes, there was a strain in her commitment. Mary's pregnant body. In the ancient world, where more women died in pregnancy than now, life still had to go on. There was no bed rest, no relaxing on the sofa. The rhythm of the community had needs that meant that people had to keep on going. There was fishing, cleaning, slicing, preparing. Water still had to be brought. Imagine the strain on her back, her feet swelling as she gathered in at the harvest during the late pregnancy. The sweat rolling down her brow as she got the bread ready for the evening meal. Mary's pregnancy is only romantic if we actually ignore the realities of it. Mary's building is a lot more demanding than David's. He would have thrown some money at the temple and then sat back and got the slaves to actually do the work. Hey, cut out all that depressing news. We want snow and we want Santa and we want bells. We want rubbish films and too much to eat and drink. Who doesn't? But it's not reality, is it? It's escapism. Not a bad place to visit, but a terrible place to live. The trouble is that Christmas is such a burden because there is no room for truth at the table. Too often at this season, we get hooked by the demon that is perfectionism. That's not the same as trying to do our best. It's an idea that says it must be perfect or it is no use at all. And it actually disables people from making their contribution because they can't be perfect, so they actually do nothing. They can't have a perfect time, so they don't do what they can do. It's a thing that disables people from enjoying what they can have. Maybe in this season where things are so different, we can relax and just take the pressure off because we know that things are going to be different. To enjoy this season with lowered expectations. It won't be perfect. But then, it was never perfect. Babies aren't perfect. Never. Not even my grandchildren, who are as close as could be to perfect. The pressure is for Christmas to be perfect. Not the best we can manage, but perfect. And we, followers of Jesus, on a good day, know that it's nonsense. How? Because we follow somebody who comes into the world in flesh and blood as a baby, who grew and changed and was tender and was challenging. Maybe this is a time that we need to remember Mary, who God was building in. Slowly, gradually, and transformationally. And our job is to do the basics well and allow God to do God's job in us. It is not our job to drive it or force it, especially in times like now when it's all so pressurized on everybody. to enjoy the season as well as we can, knowing it will be different this year, but God is being born and changing in us. To allow the Spirit to move in us and to be the spiritual heart of this time, and to make that the centre rather than the flim-flam that we usually get drawn into. It's getting to a place when where we can be comfortable with the fragility of all of life. It's the gentle whisper of God that we need to be sensitive to. It's the answer to the question, why do you pray? Why do you spend time worshipping? We as a community have twice a year 24 hours of prayer. Why? It's allowing time for the Spirit to flow and the issues to rise up. And those 24 hours say, God has priority with us, not our driving, not our bright ideas. It is God who comes as a messy, unpackageable gift. It is God who grows in flesh and blood. In our community, the mysterious has a priority. It is about discerning and the communication of God. Our guidance into God's will. God's ways of behaving are not like ours. If it had been up to us, we would not have sent the angel Gabriel. We would not have come as a baby. Birth is dangerous. We might have built a building. We might have sent in an army. We might have discussed it with the powerful and got things moving in that way. We made sure that there was a large budget and that the money was already in the bank. And if it had to be flesh and blood, if it had to be, then we would have sent it as a man or a woman, discuss, a man or a woman fully formed. Ideally, actually, a robot. So we could have kept control on the whole thing. In our plan, there certainly would not have been anyone who died on a cross. Amen.
So let us pray. We're going to pray for a variety of people this morning. And when I pause, there is a response to my prayers. And the response is, Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. Lord, believing that you always hear our prayers, we come to you in prayer. For those around the world who are hungry and thirsty. Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For refugees in war-torn countries or in transit camps. Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For those living in situations of family violence or assaulted in their own homes by strangers. Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For the brokenhearted, betrayed by family, bereaved, or watching somebody die. Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For those injured in accidents, ill physically or mentally, and all those devastated by war or disease. Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For those unable to openly worship you, Lord. hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For those looking after the sick and dying, working for peace and justice, and seeking to bring your kingdom values into our world. Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. For each one of us, Lord, in our particular struggles at the moment, Lord, hear our prayers and make us instruments of your peace. While we have been praying, you have been busy answering our petitions with your ineffable wisdom and your indefatigable love. Thank you. Through Christ Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. So now we move to the notices, and if by any chance you haven't provided yourself with the necessary for communion, now's the time to run and get it. So I don't have any particular notices today, except that I do know that there will be a service tonight at 5 in the building with masks and hand sanitizer and distance, but a service nevertheless. And I do know that Nigel needs our prayers at the moment for his health. During this week, try and think of somebody who needs your prayers and make sure that you do pray for them, because there's bound to be people in our community. So that's all I have in the notices. And now Carol is going to lead us in the rest of the service.
Be here, let us. We thank you. We remember about our gifts we give, and the bread and wine. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, out of the fullness of your gifts, we bring before you this bread and wine, our gifts and our lives. Lord God, we bring you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money. And with them, we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with love. Accept this praise we offer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You are invited to join us at this table and share with us the bread and wine. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. And he also said, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come, just as you are, each and every one of you. The institution of the Lord's Supper. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. Let's give thanks. God is with us. God is with us. We give thanks and praise to God. We give thanks and praise to God. Loving God, the world made you made is beautiful and full of wonder. You made us with all your creatures, and you love all that you have made. You gave us the words of your prophets, the stories of your people through the generations, and the gathered wisdom of many years. You gave us Jesus, your son, to be born and to grow up in difficult times when there was little peace. He embraced people with your love and told stories to change us all. He healed those in pain and brought to life those who had lost hope. He made friends with anyone who would listen and loved even his enemies. For these things he suffered. For these things he died. And he was raised from death and lives with you forever. You give us your Holy Spirit to teach and to strengthen us, to remind us of Jesus Christ, and to make us one in him. For all these gifts, we thank you, and we join with all your people on earth and in heaven in joyful praise. Hosanna! Hosanna. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Eat this bread. It's the bread of life. Drink this wine. It is the cup of blessing." Let us pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your reach out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let's sing our second hymn, "Of Father's Love Begotten."
Thank you.
I'll say all that again. As far as I know, and nobody their head, there are breakout rooms today after service. If you can't stay to a breakout room, then ring somebody, talk to somebody. You might just make their day. Let me finish the service with a blessing. The blessing of God be upon you, the one who loves you, the Christ who calls you, the Spirit who makes you holy, today and always. Amen.